From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the next portion of a message entitled The Vision of Cornelius. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. When a person is dear, everything connected with him becomes dear for his sake. Thus, so precious is the person of the Lord Jesus in the estimation of all true believers, that everything about him they consider to be inestimable beyond all price. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, said David, as if the very vestments of the Savior were so sweetened by his person that he could not but love them. Certain it is that there is not a spot where that hallowed foot hath trodden, there is not a word which those blessed lips have uttered, nor a thought which his loving word has revealed, which is not to us precious beyond all price. And this is true of the names of Christ. They are all sweet in the believer's ear. Whether he be called the husband of the church, her bridegroom, her friend, whether he be styled the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the king, the prophet, or the priest, every title of our master, Shiloh, Emmanuel, Wonderful, the Mighty Counselor, every name is like the honeycomb dropping with honey, and luscious are the drops that distill from it. But if there be one name sweeter than another in the believer's ear, it is the name of Jesus. Jesus. It is the name which moves the harps of heaven to melody. Jesus, the life of all our joys. If there be one name more charming, more precious than another, it is this name. It is woven into the very warp and woof of our psalmody. Many of our hymns begin with it, and scarcely any that are worth anything end without it. It is the total of all delights. It is the music with which the bells of heaven ring. A song in a word. An ocean for comprehension, although a drop for brevity. A matchless oratorio in two syllables. A gathering up of the hallelujahs of eternity in five letters. Jesus, I love thy charming name. 'Tis music to mine ear.
Jesus' name,
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with verses 1 through 8 of chapter 10, the record of the vision of the centurion Cornelius. Dr. Cairns is using the events in the life of Cornelius to portray the salvation of a soul. As an officer in the Roman army, Cornelius displayed unusual devotion to God. Although unconverted, he had a sincere desire to know how to be saved, evidenced by a deep prayer life and much concern for the spiritual welfare of his family and servants. In spite of many praiseworthy characteristics and practices, Cornelius felt powerful conviction of sin and was praying that God would show him the way of salvation. In response to Cornelius's earnest seeking, God gave him a vision that led him to call for Peter to come and explain the gospel to him and his household. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, God always hears the prayer of a seeking sinner. Now to continue this message, the vision of Cornelius, here is Dr. Cairns.
And my friend, I'll tell you, if there's no fear of God, or if there is very little fear of God among God's people, it is the clear indication that those people are walking far off from God, that they have got their vision in earthly things, that they have lost the sight of the Lord's holiness. They have lost the sight of the Lord's justice. They have lost the sight of the Lord's power. They have lost the sight of the Lord's glory. I tell you this morning, if you would but begin to contemplate the holiness and the justice and the glory of God, your heart would be melted in a godly fear. He was a man who was devout and he feared God. And I want you to notice, he had an influence on his household. He brought the same atmosphere into his home. It's interesting that we read of him, verse 2, he was a devout man. We read in verse 7 that he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier. Now that is not a very common breed, a devout soldier. But here we have one. It's not coincidence that you find a devout soldier serving a devout officer. It's not coincidence. It's not coincidence that in the house you find the same spirit as there was in the life and experience of the master of the house. This man had an influence in his own home. I wonder, my friend, have you the atmosphere in your home that even Cornelius, an unsaved man, could hold? Is there the atmosphere of reverence to God in your home? Or is yours one of those homes where the old television can be turned on and some half-crazy comedian or some, worse even, some blasphemous atheist or humanist can mock the very name of God? Wonder, is that the kind of a home you have? Or have you a home like Cornelius, where there is a sincere reverence of the Lord, where the fear of God rules everything, where the one thing you're careful about is that we say nothing and we do nothing and we introduce nothing to this home that is going to make us lose out with God, which is going to grieve the Lord? Certainly the kind of home we ought to have, sort of atmosphere that ought to prevail within the home. You'll notice Cornelius didn't arrive at this just by chance. It wasn't a slack and haphazard thing. You know, the atmosphere of a Christian home just doesn't happen by magic. It happens by careful attention to the things of God. And therefore, you'll notice in verse 24, at the end of the verse, when Cornelius knew that Peter was coming to preach the word of God to them, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius wanted his family to hear the truth. Cornelius worked at getting them under the sound of the gospel. Cornelius labored to have them under the influence of the word and under the influence of a man sent from God. My friend, this is wisdom. Now we read that the children of this world are wiser in their generation even than God's people. And certainly here's an unsaved man, and he's showing much more wit than many of the people of God who let their family listen to the gospel if they will, and let them drift if they will. They let them come to church if they will. They let them go away from church if they will. They keep them under the sound of the gospel only so long as their own willful hearts will say yes. My friend, here's a man, and he labored to bring his family under the gospel. That's very important. I wonder, have you that testimony? He was generous to God's work. He had a very clean reputation, clean testimony, you would say. You will notice what verse 22 says. His servants could say he was one that, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. Nobody could put the finger on Cornelius in his life. Now they could curse him. No doubt many did, because the Jews hated the Romans. They called them Gentile dogs. And, of course, they had very good grounds for detesting the Romans, for the Romans held them under an iron heel. But, no matter what they thought of the Romans, nobody could point the finger and put their finger in the life of Cornelius. That's what I like to see in a Christian, you know. A person who is of good report. And even though others may slander, yet any report, if it's true, will have to be good. Nobody can gainsay the integrity and the purity of their life. And I want you to notice this. He prayed with persistence, and he prayed with passion. Continually said his prayers. I have no doubt that he did. It's not an emphasis here just on the daily routine of prayer. The word for praying here means he besought the Lord always. It's something definite. The thought is that there was a burden in his heart, and he was lifting that burden up to God. He was earnest. He was continual in his plea to the Lord to hear him. My friend Cornelius has a lesson to teach to God's people. That we would have a burden in prayer. That we would not be satisfied merely with the daily recitation of the same old prayer. That we would not merely go through the routine of saying, well, we pray at this time of the day, and we meet at this time of the day for prayer. Those things need to be looked after. But even in those times of prayer, oh, that we would be earnest with a burden in our heart as we pray. You will notice, indeed, that he was fasting when he prayed. You'll find that he himself said this later. He was fasting, he went up and he fasted until the ninth hour of the day, according to verse 30, in order that he would really get through to God. Just let me say this. When you see this picture of Cornelius, You don't only see something that every Christian should be able to emulate. But I want you to see what it means for a soul to be under conviction of sin. Now, here's a good man, you would say. Here's an upright man. Here's a religious man. But you'll see him under conviction of sin. There's the fear of God. I want to tell you, as soon as we recapture in our gospel meetings and through our gospel witness, as soon as we recapture the work of God the Holy Ghost in convicting sinners of their sin, then we begin to see a mighty work of God in delivering sinners from their sin. A man under the fear of God, a man who has seen the holiness of God, a man who trembled in the presence of God. My friend, when you are praying for your family, when you're praying for sinners, when you're praying for the gospel meetings in this place, oh, in God's name, begin to lay hold in God that there will be a visitation of the Holy Ghost causing men to be convicted, causing sinners to fear God, causing the most outrageous of sinners to tremble in the presence of God. My friend, that's most important. Furthermore, you'll see that he felt his own sin and his own unworthiness. Here's a man, and if anybody could boast of goodness, he could. But he wasn't boasting of goodness. He felt his own sin, that's very clear. As we go on, because he was beseeching God for what? What was it he was crying to God for? Well, the answer tells us. God said, your prayers are had for a memorial. Your prayer is heard. Now, what did God say? He says, Peter will tell you words whereby you may be saved. What was it then that Cornelius was praying for? He was praying that he might hear how he might be saved. Oh, Cornelius was a man who was in dead earnest with God. A man who feared God and a man who felt his need of salvation. My friend, that's what we need to have again given to men and women, a dose of good old-fashioned conviction. And then you'll notice that he fasted, according to verse 30. He fasted until the ninth hour of the day. He fasted and he prayed. In other words, he had lost the taste even for the natural things of life. That's a mark of conviction. Now I want you to get this picture clearly of a soul under conviction of the Holy Ghost. He, first of all, fears God, trembles at the thought of God's wrath, fears to meet God in judgment. He feels his need of salvation. He's not boasting in any vaunted self-righteousness. He's not hiding behind his gifts to the church. He's not hiding behind his praying. He's not hiding behind his strict family life and his devout religious observance. He's saying, Lord, in spite of all this, I need to be saved. Feels his need. Then he has lost the taste even for the natural things of life. They have little attraction for him, for he's in dead earnest to get right with God. My friend, that's conviction. You can see the work of the Holy Ghost in this man, therefore, convicting him, bringing him to the point of his need, so that there is this thought of his sincerity. I have already hinted at the thought of his sin. It seems strange to talk about sin in connection with a man like Cornelius, but there is that thought, because in spite of all, he wasn't saved. Verse 14 of chapter 11, the Lord told him to send for Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. He still needed to be saved. Reputable, but not saved. Wonder if there was somebody like that here this morning, of good reputation. You've never been drunk. You've never been caught up in drugs. You've never been away in the wild life of the world. You have a reputation. Do not see it. My friend, reputation never kept a soul out of hell. You will see that he was right living. But he wasn't saved. Now, there's nothing wrong with uprightness. I would rather a person would be upright than crooked. I'd rather a person were never in the deep vices of the world rather than in the cesspool of this world's iniquity. My friend, let me tell you, what the world looks on and what we call right living will not save you. Redemption you need. This man was religious, but not saved. If good works could have saved anybody, then Cornelius would have been saved by good works. But after it all, he still needed to hear words whereby he and his household should be saved. You'll notice his seeking. He was praying continually. praying that he might know more of the Lord, praying that he might know the way of life, praying that God would tell him how to be saved. Clearly in prayer he was expressing his own unworthiness. Clearly in prayer he was crying out that God would deal with him in mercy. Now I want you to notice a law of Scripture here. God hears the sincere cry of every seeking soul. There's no doubt of that. Verse 4, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And when a man prays, then God will hear his prayer. When a man sincerely seeks, then God is going to answer that man. And God's going to give him what he's seeking for. There's no such thing as a man sincerely seeking the Lord and being turned away. No such thing. For it's of the grace of God that he's brought to seek the Lord in the first place. Sincere seekers always will be shown the truth. In fact, a great American evangelist, R.A. Torrey, used to meet the agnostics of his day in this ground. They would come and normally they were just hiding behind an intellectual excuse for rejecting the gospel, rejecting Christ. The truth was they wanted their sin. But they would say, well, I'm an agnostic. I just don't know whether the gospel is true or not. And he always used to home in on them and say, well now, a true agnostic, you know, is a man who will take the truth if he finds it. Oh yes, I would take it, but I just don't know it. He said, well, are you willing to take any clue and follow it through? Oh, certainly. They don't know what they're letting themselves in for yet. Because if you're an honest man, if you say, I don't know the truth, you'll take any clue and you'll follow it through, and if it leads you to the truth, you'll accept it. And if it doesn't, of course, you'll reject it. And then he turned them to John chapter 17. John chapter 7 and verse 17. And he left them this promise, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He says, now here the Lord Jesus is saying that there is a way whereby you can know. Do you want to know? He said, are you willing to come to the place of sincerely seeking? And they used to get them to pray a strange prayer. He used to say, oh God, if there is any God. Of course, that was very nice with these agnostics. They thought, that's good, I can pray that prayer. Oh God, if there is any God. And if Jesus Christ is your Son, and if this Bible is your Word, then reveal it to me, and I vow to God that I will sincerely receive Jesus Christ and confess Jesus Christ and live for Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. He used to say, will you pray that prayer? Take John's Gospel, read it carefully, day by day, little by little, pray over it, that prayer. He says, will you do it? And this was his testimony. Every sincere agnostic who ever came that way was saved. I have used that in many a professing agnostic. Let me tell you, I have never found one who's honest enough and willing enough to face up to it. They're not agnostics at all. Because sincere seekers will always be saved. The Lord will reach them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.